Dit is SBS Dutch.
Johannes van der Wielen was 12 jaar, bijna 13, toen hij op 11 september 1952, vandaag dus precies 72 jaar geleden, in Australië aankwam. Hoewel het de bedoeling was om in Sydney van boord te gaan, koos de familie ervoor om al in Fremantle afscheid te nemen van de Johan van Oldenbarneveld. Johannes, die al snel zijn naam moest veranderen in John, kwam samen met zijn ouders en twee broers terecht in Holden Camp. De familie van de Wielen verbleef hier 6 maanden, waarna ze verhuisden naar Greylands Camp. John vertelt dat, toen hij de eerste ochtend wakker werd in Holden Camp, hij direct met vrienden op verkenning ging.
Jouw gemeenschap, jouw gesprek, SBS Dutch.
Woke up in the morning and we went, the 3 or 4 of us boys went straight across, saw this big hill cross from the camp and adventurously sort of tracked our way across. And the first thing we came across was a little stream, and beside the stream was an Aboriginal family in their little humpy, you know. And they just lived in the bush, just like you see them, just loincloths and, you know, like you see in pictures from years ago. They just lived their natural way. And that was something unbelievable to us to come across that at first.
Mm-hmm. So you arrived with the Johan van Oldenbarneveld and you were picturing Australia, but then you arrived at that camp. How was it to see where you were ending up? Like, you were 12, 13 years old.
Yeah, when we first went to the barrack and noticed how we had to live, I couldn't believe it. You know, as I say, we heard it. Later on in life, I went into, I did national service, and I lived in barracks with 18 young men, which is fine, you know, 18 beds. But to see families put in that and just strings across the rooms with blankets, it was just unbelievable, really, in this day and age, to have to live like that. Luckily, within a week, my dad got a job in the camp and we got a private little house, you know, as being a staff member. But all the other people had to live like that all the time they were there.
And a room for one family. You were with 4 kids, 2 adults. The first week, how big was your living space, you think?
It was the size of a very small bedroom surrounded by blankets. Your next door neighbour had the same, you know, the blanket divided one family from the other.
The blanket was the wall?
Yeah, the blanket was the dividing wall, yeah.
So you could hear everything from everyone?
Yes, yes.
No privacy at all?
People passing wind and snoring and, you know, whatever went on during the night. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you came off that ship. You had a great time there. How was it at the camp? Were there things to do for a 12-year-old boy, for kids?
No, but because the actual terrain was so different to us, we went exploring every day. Never thought about consequences, getting lost or, you know. It was just in a teenager's mind, we just wanted to see everything as quickly as possible. And we did something different every day, and then after a few days we found out where the actual township was. We used to walk into there. And then we also had to go to a school to learn English, which was full of all different nationalities. And we had a good time there as well.
And the school was on the camp, within the
school. Yeah, it was just one big classroom,
yeah.
All different ages, all grouped together, mainly to get a grasp of the English language sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are, you all had to start from the beginning.
No, the ages varied from about 8 till 12, I think, 13.
Mm-hmm. And were you the only Dutch family there?
We were the only 5 Dutch families were in that camp. The rest were either Russian, Polish, Latvian, Lithuanian, and then some single Italian men moved into the camp as well.
How was the dynamics between the different nationalities?
The first few weeks, I don't think there was much integration there at all, but my dad organised some sporting events, mainly soccer, and the young Italian blokes all sort of grouped in. So we made about 3 or 4 different soccer teams. That helped people integrate, you know, making different teams up from different nationalities. And then the camp opened the big hall there to show movies and a few dances. And that's how people learned with all broken English, communicate.
Yeah, of course. You had the language barrier between the people living there.
Yeah, and as I say, they all had the same problem. Very few people spoke English. But I did meet a Polish doctor who came to Australia, and he just had to do a labouring job because in those days none of the qualifications were recognised at all. There was just no recognition for skills like that at all. I was sorry for him then, but now being older, I feel a lot more sorry for him because, you know, a person that I think he would have been about 45, 50 to have to go and do a labouring job when he was qualified to pretty well operate on people or do whatever he was qualified to do, he couldn't do.
No.
You know?
Yeah. And how was the food? Because with all these different nationalities, what were they serving you?
I think the other people that were there had been there 5 or 6 months, but maybe became adjusted to the food. But the Dutch people, they just, we came there about 9 o'clock at night, so they made us a dinner. And it had just straight out roasted sweet potatoes. And to us, they looked like wrinkled sausages sort of thing, you know. A bit, it was terrible. But the food was just not prepared by, it turned out, we found out later, the chap in charge of the kitchen had no knowledge about food at all, you know. Didn't know the first thing about boiling an egg, let alone cook a whole dinner. It was just disgusting. So most of the migrants finished up getting a little kerosene stove or that sort of thing and did the cooking. We had more room to do that in our unit, but the other people sort of all got together and cooked some stuff in between meals.
Yeah, because I heard before from people who went to Bongela in Victoria that it was lamb every day and they were sick of it.
Yeah, well, to us the lamb was the best of all of it, yeah.
Yeah. So when you moved to the other cabin, was your mum able to cook her own dinner?
Yes, yes.
How long have you lived there in the end?
We only stayed there about 6 months and then moved to another camp in Greylands, which was actually more for British migrants. Again, we were the first Dutch people brought in there, and that was 100 times better than Holden Camp.
So there was a difference between Camp A for Europeans and Camp B for the British.
Oh, huge, yes. Yeah, yeah, no comparison. I mean, the Greylands actually had, you know, it was like a buffet style, people serving you, though, but you could sort of say, I'll have the beef today with soup, and it was fantastic. Really, really good food. Even on today's standards, that was good food in Greylands, yeah.
Yeah. How long did you stay there?
Greylands about 6 months too. And then we got a house in Medina, which was basically specially built because BP refinery was built in WA at that time. And the township was specially built for migrants. And it was a very well-designed little town, actually.
Yeah. Did you ever think when living in one of the camps, like, oh, Mum and Dad, what have you done to us?
No, it never entered my mind. We had too much fun as children. Later on in life, I realised what they had to put up with because I did see my mum cry a few times, mainly because she was homesick. But, again, she was a very stoic person. She got over it pretty quick. But, yeah, they went through sad times that we as children didn't realise at the time. You know, it's only when you grow up you realise as an adult what they must have gone through, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good thing then as a child. You see it totally different.
Yeah. It was mostly made easy for my dad because he was such a open sort of person, integrated so quickly with mainly British and English people and, you know, he adjusted very quickly. It took my mum a little bit longer, but...
And what were your thoughts about the fact that you had to change your name from Johannes to John?
Yeah, again, I thought, oh, that doesn't sound too bad, John. You know, it's a nice short name, John. In Holland, I was called Jorp. And
oh,
I thought John was 100% better than Jorp. So I didn't mind that at the time. But it was just the way it was said, you know, oh, you can't walk around with a name like that. No, we'll call you John. That was virtually done at that school in Holden Camp by the teacher.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. But looking back now, I can see why people object to it, to, you know, being called something else that they don't want to be called. But at that time, I didn't mind at all. I still think John is a good name anyway.
Yeah. And do you look back on it now as a good time?
Yes. Yeah. From my point of view, I've never regretted stepping foot on this soil. No, it's my country. It will be my country. I'll die here. And all my children have got the benefit of us migrating, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever been back to the Netherlands?
Yes. Twice. Very short stints because my son lived in England and it was on the way through to England that we stopped off for, I think it was 5 days the first time and about the same the second time.
And wow, so in 73 years you've been in the Netherlands for maybe 10 days.
Yes. And the very first time was after 50 years.
Wow. So you never missed it. I mean, you were nearly in puberty. You never were never angry or missed your friends or the Dutch school.
I did miss it, but only fleetingly, short times. You know, I never had time to think about it because we're too busy doing other things. Yeah.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.